Jose up on stage.
All right, folks. This is my first poetry slam, so I'm going to be a little bit nervous. Yeah. Don't, please don't throw anything at me. I promise. It's not that bad. My name is Jose Cervantes. This one's called Red Roses. I wrote this one for a young individual, young female, who was actually going through some illness in her life. And she knew she was going to go. I met her a while back. And, you know, after I met her, I just kept thinking and thinking about her. And I just wrote this poem for her. She lives every day like it's going to be her last, because she could literally die today, tomorrow. She doesn't know. Can I just read it to this little girl? Can I read it to you? All right, this is called Red Roses. This is for all the red roses out there. A red rose tainted. I painted a picture black and white because every other shade of gray was taken. They say our imperfections make us whole, but Lord, have you forsaken my soul? And although at times I sit and contemplate it, but I just can't seem to let go of that rope, because even through the storm, I create a hope in my arms like a mother to a newborn. I came crawling to the altar just to be crowned, but I soon found out the court's been adjourned, so my journey continues. And regardless of my condition, I know I'm blessed to still be living and loved unconditionally. Never mind me, RIP to the disease.
All right. So, Jose did something that was quite clever. He used the time that he had to explain the poem as part of his poem, I would say that was part of your poetry, man. You have a way with words beyond just the lyrics. So, do we have our points ready? Give them just a second. Present your points. We have a 7.4. We have a 7.5. We have a 6. We have a 7. We have an 8. What I would say is listen to the poem. Anyways, we now have Raleigh up, and on deck, we will have Levi.
This is called The President's Plan for Sustainable Action. It begins with the dismantle of American empire. Next, the acquisition of lands for rehabilitation and localized food production. It's the dissolution of for-profit enterprise and the economy of nature and family. Organization by community and watershed, emphasis on healing and recovery, energy focused on collective sustenance. Grounding down in actuality. Humble humans fueling cyclical development, true to seasons and nature's needs. Trusting God for peace, and taking action as needed to check neighboring greed. It's global consensus on community for survival. Our purpose is to heal the broken circle as best we can, and we can. Articulating pleasure, it's freedom to feel, wander, wonder, to observe in peace with time. The whispering songs of loving air, pleasure is a place, becoming a place, familiar and new. Little human animal that I am, infinity incarnate, muero por mi compañía, bled, drawn like a candle we must burn to give light. It all spins exactly as it should, concerning the pain and suspicion from which I suffer. It is my own shadow, my neurotic loneliness in need of other for worth, my abandon into romance outpacing possibility. I am red, perhaps furious, and unable to express it yet in pain, I trust. It is half of ecstasy. Divinity places me here to know by my own suffering what it is to love without attachment, reeling stories of mind understood as such. This is soul. It is jealousy and anger, sorrow, passion, and beauty. Open your eyes and discover your soul, wearing colors reflected by illusion. Life is not static. We will always need to be proving that beyond fear lies beauty. So do what's impossible by arriving only where you may go. art as subsistence, love as communication, music as truth, nature as religion, the pueblo as family, crystal streams of timeless dreams, echoes from every dimension, the mysteries that pulse from beyond each corner, opening to fear and resisting for love, for the glory of this planet, her infinite intelligence, her genuine beauty, the fortune of life and reality of our freedom. We are our earth. We are the universe. We are the rhythm born of desire.
That's what I like to hear, a homegrown radio voice that perhaps you've heard before today. All righty then. Levi, you are up next. Give me 1 second. 1 second. I need a point. Ready, everybody. Up. We have a 7.5. Yeah. We have an 8. We have an 8. Yeah. We have an 8.2. Yeah. And we have another 8.2. Well, there we go. Come hither, my brother. Levi! This guy. Levi, can you help me read who is up next?
Yeah. Up next is Kate.
Thank you.
The story started with my sister's caring, careful hands as she guided the needle back and forth through hills of faded denim, each stitch pulling together a different adventure for my brother to later unravel. Her recycled masterpiece of reused memories, she made him a pair of overalls. From the day he put them on, he never took them off. Through grass stains and mud, dirt and gravel, they became the canvas for him to paint his boyhood journeys on. He bushwhacked through head-high wetlands and swam through rushing rapids. Every rip and every stain became evidence of his marvelous miscellaneous memories. You could see him running around town with his dirty bare feet and beautiful beaten overalls, his wild mangled hair a splash of dandelion fuzz. He was a great explorer. Nothing and no one could stop him. He spent all day catching gardener snakes and wild turtles, sunbathing in tall grasses, and traversing the endless tundra of the dog park. He made contraptions out of loose screws and duct tape, wire and spray paint. He was a free-range kid raised on baked beans and discount bread. He used mud as war paint and declared battles against homework. He walked around all day with his head high up in the clouds on top of the world, his imagination unraveling onto everything he touched. He carried smiles in his pocket. I think we could all live a little like him. He danced around campfires and weaved baskets out of bird feathers. He climbed mountains barefoot and swung from trees like Tarzan, howling at the moon and sleeping under the stars like his ancestors before him. So little, yet so brave, his mighty roar could be heard often and loud. He made his presence known by the way he carried himself. You could see him pouncing around on all fours like a tiger ready to attack. His overalls, an extension of his personality, a symbolism for his soul.
One thing I loved about poems from memorizing poets is that every so often the poem decides to become a little bit different. And they roll with it. And they change, they adapt, they grow. And just like these moments where we are all together and growing and learning, it's awesome. Can I see some points? We have a 9.5. We have a 7.8. We have an 8.2. We have an 8.75, third digit. And we have an 8.5. Yeah. May I please have Kate up on the stage?
Hi, my name is Kate Howe. Can y'all hear me? Great. Do it again. This is a poem for a man that I met 26 years ago. Old shit. Old shit. My baby has big eyes and a swollen soul that howls and bucks when you touch it. My baby has long hands and a bleeding ego that clamps its lips shut when you try to feed it. My baby doesn't believe me. He is my everything. He could be his everything. He could be everything and anything, but baby doesn't believe. My baby has soft hair and a heart with bruises that cries real tears when you tease it. Baby is a gold medal winner in an iron lung who's gonna rust shut in the rain because he forgot he knows how to run, play, climb, and live.
I love the way that voices can change in quality over the course of a single sentence.
Okay, we have a 7.5. Ah. A 7.5. Ah. An 8. Can we have people move their hands? Thank you. An 8.2.
Yeah.
An 8.8.
Yeah.
Looks like a comma, but it is a decimal, so it is 10.000. Woo! He would have had more if he could.
So, Ayla, can you please join me on the stage? And next, I have Louisa. Excellent.
My name is Ayla, and I wrote this poem about 2 days ago. And my poem is called The Cat's Perspective. I'm a cat. Hello. Nice day. Tell you about my life? Okay. So here it is. I've slunk and I've slinked and I flow along city streets like a river. I hate dogs and I can jump pretty high. I can snatch a bird right out of the sky. I never say sorry to the bird. I love the night. I hate the snow. I like to nap and so. I sleep in the laundry. I poke in the trash. And I don't really like my home. And I really love to be alone. I hate the water. I love the night. And I have glowing eyes. And when I'm napping, it'll be quite a while before I'm done. And I even clean myself with my tongue. I walk on the table, I roll in the trash, I can run really fast, and definitely stay away from a bath. I don't really like loud noises, and when it comes to bedtime, I don't have that many choices. 1,000 times I've done these things, and now it is almost time for my mid-afternoon nap. So that is what it's like to be a cat, and nothing can be better than that, but I guess it depends on your perspective.
All right, everybody go home. You're dismissed. All right, so, Ayla, how old are you? Which grade are you in? So, when I was about her age, I was writing poetry too. Here's one of my first ever poems. It was written a couple grades before you, but Fall Special Place Description. In the acorn forest, the tree that's my special acorn tree has branches that criss and cross to form an acorn castle with many thrones and many rooms to be beheld. By this tree, there are many acorns to be seen. Some of them are green as grass, and some of them are as brown as the mystical bark of the tree they came from. Some are as thick as a brick, and some are
as hollow as a can.
This tree is very special to me. I suck compared to her! Okay. To be honest, poetry was where I started explaining myself. I have ADHD and Asperger's, and it is hard to make my brain go outwards. And it took a little bit of bravery to even write that one. What we just saw was true bravery, and these points won't even matter if they're all tens, but I would like to see them now. We have a 10. We have a 9, a 9, and a 9. Okay, and an 8. Louisa, can I please have you up on stage? And then Susan, you are on deck.
All right, so Louisa Byrne. This poem's called Success is the Best Revenge. I see you. Arms crossed crossed tight across your chest as if it is the only thing holding you together. Your face in a mask of perfection. All the while, hidden bruises ripen like summer peaches. Your body is like a house in a war zone, made out of bullet holes. Called Baby, I Love You, and Baby, I'll Never Do It Again. I want to reach my hand out and place it on your shoulder and say, this too shall pass. But it is too soon for that. You feel like a teabag steeped in shame. You swallowed his lies whole, like oysters at the seaside. It's your fault. This is as good as it gets. You deserved it. And you are broken. They became a part of you, and you carry them around inside your body, unable to shake them. When you leave, you will be angry. You will beat yourself up for staying so long, for not seeing those bright red flags that fluttered right in front of your face. And you will wonder, how did I let someone treat me that way? Don't beat yourself up. Know that it takes time to leave, and no one wants to see those red flags. No one wants to believe that the person they love could possibly treat them that way. And you are stubborn. You think you failed. You think that if you just tried hard enough, you could have fixed him. Stop. You can't. He can't be fixed. Attempting to please, you contorted yourself into an unrecognizable shape, thinking that if you had just struck the perfect pose, he would love you the way he promised. Yeah. It's going to take some time to find yourself. But you know what? The heart of you, that part of you, that spark that lights up a room, it's still there. And those friends you lost touch with, they love you, so show them your scars, and maybe it'll give them permission to share theirs. So go out and bask in the glory of friends and drink tea and read and travel and fall in love and don't be jaded. I want to cradle your face in my hands and say, good Lord, child, you are splendid. And you don't even know it. When you are older, when you have more smile lines, you are going to look back at this and you're going to think, I made it. I survived. You are going to roar with rage at how it happened, and you are going to stand triumphant. Because, my dear, success is the best revenge. Yeah. And when you look at me and you say, how can you be so sure? So sure you won't make it out? I will tell you, I once stood where you stand.
This is a language that speaks in 1,000 tongues. 100 million more wait to be written. So thank you for coming up and showing us what you have and sharing with us what you want us to know. A bunch of different poems on stage so far. Let's see what we have left after this important news break. We have an 8.3. Yeah. An 8. An 8.5, yeah. A 9, yeah. A 9.8. Woo! So, up next we have Susan, and then on deck we have someone very special, the man that's making this all possible, Lucas, who's I'm pretty sure is in there. I'll go make sure he knows.
Hi there, I'm Susan Foster, and this is a silly poem to keep myself from being bored. I hope it makes you laugh. It's called The Skunk That Stunk More Than Once. Now, I hope I can read my own writing, okay? More than once upon a time, there was a skunk that stunk. He bumped into a mink and sprayed her with stink. The mink was in a bind. She didn't want to be unkind. So the mink gave him a wink to make him think she didn't mind. she didn't mind. I don't know.
You got this.
That was just once that the skunk stunk. He bumped into the mink again and sprayed her with stink. The smell was so intense, it was his second offense. So the mink, to make him think, put up a picket fence. A picket fence? Now, the skunk was mixed up about the wink. He thought the wink was something more than just to make him think. To him, it made no sense, so he jumped the picket fence. But the mink held up a mirror on behalf of her defense. What the skunk saw wasn't yet clear. Until he smashed into the mirror and sprayed his only peer. It was a surprising impression, a picture of a perfect reflection to a skunk who'd never seen his smell appear. Although he learned what his stink was all about, he thought his stink would eventually run out. If there's a moral to this story, we're all linked. Even a skunk doesn't want to become extinct. I'm glad I'm last.
Excellent work. And we have one. The last one. Hat on head, rings on hands. No. Come closer. Come closer. Now stop. All right. Can I please have my points? So, I have a 7 and a 5. I have a 6.5, a 5.9, and a 7.1. We applaud the poet, not the points. Your mic.
Not to end us on a negative note, but an unfortunate truth is that the world is fucked. Overpopulation, while the rich and richer suck. Oil shale, talk about life destruction. We disregard the children with this mass consumption. Wasting on a daily, but most don't really care. If they really did, you know that they'd be scared. But day after day, throwing plastic in the garbage, staring at screens to watch our futures get discarded, we're gonna have to keep moving. Take risks and break rules until we start a revolution. Democrats, Republicans, oligarchy governments, living in a world where lack of money equals punishment. I think we know it's all fake. The way we spend our money on the things that we should take, share, and give away for free. If we all just work together, we would have enough of what we need, but we can't, because we're living in a matrix. Need to make that money that is actually insidious enslavement. Waste away your life, waste away your time, waste away true value just to make a dime. You know, we might just have to run. The trees that make the oxygen fall in one by one. Oblivious to the real repercussions, we disregard the children with this mass consumption.
Thank you very much for coming up. Stepping out of your secluded cavern, he's the man who made this sound possible. Thank you, Lucas. So, when we have the points ready, I would like them to be presented to me. We have an 8.5, a 6.5, a 8.4, an 8.5, and a 9. So, we have a couple of moments while math is being made. We have two poets for you. I am one of them, if I have enough time, but our first and foremost is Haley. What is your last name again? Hallie. Hallie Zander. She will tell you a little bit about herself and then spit out a poem for you all. And I will be right back in the room.
I'm going to skip the telling you about myself part. But Hallie, and Thank you all for being here tonight. There were some really phenomenal poets, and I have one of my students in the audience. Hi, Kiki. All right. Wounds glow in the dark, she told me, with a mason jar full of gin and hair longer than I remember. Wounds glow in the dark. Her legs and arms stretch out long, grazing my forearm, my thigh, her laugh familiar and painful in the night. Dark and tired, I remember, but I did not stutter, said, good night. Wounds glow in the dark, and back then I melted for her like butter, slowly losing my shape, burning, dissolving. I couldn't get close enough to her core without disappearing, and besides, I wasn't allowed there. Wasn't allowed to tell her what that night meant, that there was a longing, fermenting, and quickly erasing my capacity to do anything else. It was nice to see you. I told her while wounds glow in the dark haunted my mental framework, like it meant my heartache was bound to come back for her after sunset, that I must gear up for the disappointment of losing her again, because I remember how it all hurt, how she never called to offer help, never called me worth it, never called me more than a moment or a weakness. She never called. I remember the nights in the blackness, the glowing gashes in my sides from all the times I watched her. I remember her tights purple and her hair twisted, the cheap champagne running down her cheeks, my nausea as she twirled and folded on the hardwood floor. I remember the cuts I got from holding myself back, convinced it made me deformed. So as her hand rubbed along the velvet of my dress, I discovered she was mistaken. I'm sure there are some wounds that glow in the dark, but I did not forget any of it. I'm not fighting a phantom's grasp anymore. Her hair shines, but does not blind me. Her breath smells like strawberries, but is no longer sweet. My scars glow in the dark, remembered and resolved. So as she stood there on the sidewalk, puzzled and expectant, I repeated it for her. For this journey in my head was just a long-winded way of saying goodnight. It was nice to see you.
Like strawberries, but not sweet. I really like that line. I need to write it down. So, to put a pin in it. Poetry is where? Poetry is where my lungs fill with ink. My tongue turns to graphite. My teeth to pencil sharpeners. Poetry is where my brain leaks, splurts, gushes out a crack in this pretty white shell to show the world my wonky, writhing yolk. Poetry is my wavelength frequency, my blessed coherency, the tune that my tick can talk to resonate into my fellow humans' minds. Poetry is the key to the lock I slammed shut on my mouth when I was 6 years old. My voice only ever got me into trouble. My words only ever got me flack. Poetry gave me the bravery, the chutzpah, to fly these unfriendly skies. The chutzpah to fly these unfriendly skies, to risk a few new perforations in my personality, to open up my damn mouth and scream it all out, because poetry is my freedom, a filter through which my messed up mind seems appealing to those not so drunk off life. Those who put the homo into homo sapiens, that is to mean same, same thinking, same working, same enough to know that I am different, to know that I am a babbletooth, wiggle rump, weirdo. Poetry addresses that age-old greatest wish of little Chris. The day that I could be normal. Normal enough not to draw ire's crosshairs, at least. Well, I have since learned of what beheld me to my impulsive acts. What predicated precocious missteps across social lines and errors in school time etiquette. I have ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. I am not, never will be, never really want to be normal, not anymore, now that I know my brain and now know how to love it. But at least poetry listens to my at least normal listens to my poetry. So, I have to admit something to you. I read the wrong poem. I have Poetry is Where, and Poetry is Where, Mark 2. There's a few words I wish I could have said otherwise. Anyways. That's my next poem.
Well, okay, thank you so much, Chris. Thanks, big applause for all of the poets, the MC, Chris. Thank you for being brave and for standing up here and sharing your art with us. I enjoyed it, and you all are incredible, so thanks for being here. I think Alia has a couple more things to say as a closing, by way of closing, but again, thanks for being here. And we would encourage all of you to meet with us at during our monthly workshops for Poets on Purpose. If you haven't already signed the list, you can sign it up, sign up, and we'll make sure to keep in touch with you.
We have an absolute blast poetry generating here. And we have a lot of really experienced people in our community who are just going to be adding to the workshops. And Hallie here, we are so looking forward to help schoolers around performing and performance poetry. So we have that to look forward to in the new year. I really want to say, first of all, thank you to our judges. Yeah, it was really consistent all the way through. Well done. Don't leave without me giving you a little thank you gift. I want to say so much thank you to Ellie Aspen Words, Chris Ryerson, first time emceeing. Awesome. To our partners, Katie and Kay. Of course, Alpine Bank for giving us all the incredible prizes. To the courageous poets and to you, the audience. Thank you. Till next time.